Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. Thanks for coming by today. Today is Health Day. I kidded Monica last week and told her I'm going to start calling this the Friendly Witch Doctor Show, because we are together, Shelley and Monica and I, trying to open the doors to a few natural, more therapeutic way of taking care of ourselves, using remedies that are in our homes, that don't have chemicals in them, that don't have more side effects than they do worth, which is, I think, becoming more and more evident in today's antibiotics and even over-the-counter products that are supposed to enhance the health of our skin, the health of our gut, the health of our everything. They've all got something in it that our bodies could maybe not be being poisoned by, but would certainly be healthier for us to go without. And Shelley and Monica have both made this it kind of consumes them, the search for the perfect answers to some of today's problems. And you all get to reap the rewards from it. I think it's the perfect world. I see that Shelley is here, so I'm going to invite her in. Monica should be here in a few minutes because I just talked to her on Facebook. Good morning, Shel.
Well, good morning, Rainey.
How are you today, honey?
Doing good. My throat's still a little froggy. eyes not froggy anymore. My throat's more froggy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear it in your voice. Well,
yeah.
We've got some.
I don't have any of my golden seal root. That's usually, I didn't realize I was out of it. That usually knocks it out like in 48 hours. So I've been doing some other things. I actually feel halfway decent. It's just all in my sinuses and my throat. It should be gone in another day or so.
Well, I need to mention that here in South Florida, the pollen in the air right now is at an all-time high. If you ever go outside, we have the patio in the back and the pool, and I have a big canopy, and underneath it I have tables and chairs. Well, Saturday, of course, I went out and watered all my plants and did some clipping because they're struggling for whatever reasons, and I'm like, what's the matter with my plants? I have to, like, hose them off. They seem to be covered with something. So I cleaned the whole deck and the tabletops and the chairs, and 5 hours later, when I went out there to check on people that were sitting out there during the celebration of life that we had for Valerie's mother this weekend, I'm like, you could finger paint on the top of the table because the pollen was so thick. And
yeah, I'm seeing that here by me, too.
Bright yellow pollen. It's on everything. So, of course, if you have any kind of allergies to those kind of things, it's crazy. I went out there early this morning, and the other thing is this dense fog that we've had, for the last three mornings?
Yes.
Right now, sitting in my office, I can see the road, but I can't see across the street.
Wow.
I can't see the house across the street, their fence, nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty thick by me, too.
So there's lots of stuff going on in the air, and I wanted to mention that I did do a little bit more research on this RSV that they diagnosed the great-grandson with, and he's doing better, but they had hoped they were going to bring him out of intensive care yesterday, but to my knowledge, they still haven't done that. He's still having some struggles with his deep breathing. So I'm wondering, everything's always connected, but I'm really wondering if this funky weather, I mean, they just moved here from Missouri, where the air is very, very cold, and there's certainly no pollen in the air in Missouri this time of year, and it's very crisp air to the heavy humidity and to the and this pollen stuff. I'm wondering if there's any kind of a connection with all of that. So he's, like I say, he's probably going to be in the hospital for a full week. He does have other issues. He was born with some problems. So they have to keep a special eye on him. He has some holes in his heart that they believe will eventually close themselves. But, of course, that's another issue with what's going on with him right now and not being able to breathe properly. But everybody I'm talking to, the one grandson who has tremendous allergies, that poor child, oh, my gosh, he's out back playing basketball and comes in and looks like somebody scratched his eyes out. I mean, red, swollen, itchy. So, and there's not been any news about it on TV. There's, you know how we usually have a pollen reading or an allergy report? I haven't seen anything like that, and I've watched just to see what they're saying. So I don't know if it's just out here in the acreage. I suppose that's possible, although that doesn't seem logical. It's possible, but it's really bad out here. So, but at any rate, Monica isn't on yet, but I know she's with us, so she might be having trouble with her phone. But she sent me an article a while back. My phone won't let me call you. It keeps asking for a PIN number. I don't know what's happening. It won't let me call long distance without a PIN number. I don't know what that is. Lindsay isn't here to figure it out. He's on his way home from work. Well, so I don't know whether that means you can listen or not, Monica. I'm going to message her and ask her if she can listen anyway, and she can text me if she wants to say something. But the article she sent me is Gut Feeling, the Future of Psychiatry may be Inside Your Stomach. And I read it before because she sent it to me a couple weeks ago. And I do believe it's true, but I really intended, because we've made this promise a couple times now, to talk about rosacea. So if you'd like to take over that would be cool, and I'll text her and see what's going on.
Sure. Yeah, I can talk about rosacea for a few minutes. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that there's several forms of rosacea. There's the rosacea that most people think of, is that red ruddiness to a person's facial complexion. But there's other forms that people associate with heavy drinkers or alcoholism, which is the big red bulbous nose, very bright red nose. That's another form of rosacea. And also having pustules on the face is another form of rosacea. These are several different forms, like three different forms. Sometimes you don't have the pustules or the large nose, but you just have that severe ruddiness. There's different levels of it, different severities. Stress is one of the biggest stressors. Stress affects rosacea just like it does so many other diseases. If this is your body's way of manifesting disorder in the body, the stress is, in fact, going to make each time you show it, each time you manifest the rosacea, worse. All right. There's other things that can trigger it, along with diet, alcohol. Sometimes spicy foods will aggravate somebody who has rosacea. Things of this. So in this website that I found, and it's by Kathy Wong, who's a naturopathic doctor, and she has this whole website with natural remedies on it. And this dates back to, I think, 2014. Okay, so it was updated recently. But it looks like most of her information is about 10 years old. So although the website has been updated, her particular information is going back a bit. But she talks about a niacinamide cream. Now, niacinamide, which is a form of vitamin B3, can actually cause flushing in the face. So I was surprised to see that as a therapy, However, I remember when I went through my skin disorder, when I had the eczema, the shingles, and the staph infection all simultaneously, I was given a niacinamide cream. I recalled that once I saw this. So it is used to help the skin externally restore itself. It's very healing to the skin. So niacinamide cream, which, like I said, is a form of B3, is very helpful to people who have rosacea. Also, there's something called chrysanthellum iticum cream. That's a mouthful. And they're showing that this, the European Academy of Dermatology and Venereology in 2005 found that this particular cream gave great relief to people that had rosacea. It would help the redness recede, and it would help the comfort of the skin quite highly. Now, I've never heard of this particular cream, but this is on a naturopathic site, so I'm thinking it must be floral-based. And then there's an I wish they would give you like little parentheses telling you how to pronounce some of these words. There's another one that's azelaic, so azelaic acid cream, which is a substance that's derived from wheat, rye, and barley acids, and it is also shown to alleviate the skin redness and actually to reduce the papules and the pustules when applied directly to the skin. So this is also a plant-based, or it is actually a grain-based acid cream that has been shown in the Archives of Dermatology in their article in 2006 to have wide-range benefits for rosacea. Then she goes on addressing food allergies and an anti-inflammatory diet. These are the last two things in her article. She has six things in the article, last thing being stress. So she says, you know, if you have food allergies, that can trigger rosacea episodes. So she says, you know, take a diary, see if there's a particular food you eat, and then all of a sudden you have a flare-up. And the anti-inflammatory diet, interestingly enough, or this sort of made a lot of sense to me, is the same diet that we recommend over and over and over again for so many other diseases and disorders, which is simplifying your diet, having it more alkaline, eating more fruits and vegetables, staying away from meats, things like that. So the anti-inflammatory diet is very consistent with what we recommend for other things. If you go down here, she said foods high in antioxidants. You want to have a diet high in antioxidants and omega-3 oils, and that would be berries, cherries, apples, artichokes, dark green leafy vegetables, sweet potatoes, broccoli, nuts, beans, such as red beans, pinto beans, black beans, whole grains, and even dark chocolate, especially this Shosai chocolate that I know is out there that's supposed to be cold-pressed. It's never exposed to heat. That's very, very high in antioxidants. So when you're talking good, pure dark chocolate that doesn't have a lot of sugar added to it, that's actually an antioxidant for us. All right, and you want to go with foods that are high in omega-3s. You want to avoid foods that are high in omega-6s because the omega-6 oil can actually aggravate rosacea, and that would be meat products, dairy products, margarine, and vegetable oils such as corn, safflower, soybean, peanut, and cottonseed. The oils you would want to use would be your coconut oil, olive oil, sunflower seed oil. Those types of oils would be good. But you want to stay away from the lower grade oils such as corn, safflower, soybean, peanut, and cottonseed. Those particular oils, along with meat, dairy products, and margarine, can actually aggravate rosacea. And then, like I said at the beginning, the biggest thing is stress. Learn how to manage stress in your life. Don't give in to every little thing that happens. Be a calmer person. And this is a choice you have to make. When things happen to you, instead of instantly reacting with anger or sadness, choose to be a calmer person. Choose to count to 10 before you react and start managing your stress levels. If you're working at a job that puts you under too much stress, There are courses out there. There's books you can read on how to manage an impossible desk. And maybe you just need to learn some newer skills on how to attack a workload that seems impossible to take care of. I've taken some of these courses, and they really do work. So there's a lot of different ways you can approach stress. If you're dealing with family members, you know, regardless of what the source of your stress is, the bottom line is there are other people that have gone through it too, and there are hundreds of thousands of books out there to help people through different types of situations in their life, improve things, help things be more under their own control, and so that's a good recommendation. But learn how to manage your stress better. And those are like the six main things that this naturopathic doctor covered.
So I think that is a major factor in almost everybody that I know that suffers from rosacea. So, but I also think it's important, even if you know that something is about stress, just knowing that you're stressed doesn't make it go away. So I think all these other things that you guys have researched on are going to be beneficial for somebody to get the manifestations under control. Stress,
right.
We've done shows about, you know. And it is up to you, for sure, to deal with your own stress level and what's pushing you over the edge. We've had lots of conversations about that. And, of course, that stress and things like that are one of those kind of things that make so much sense when you're discussing it with somebody who's like-minded. But then when you're sitting there all by yourself trying to get something under control because you're worried about somebody or it seems like everything is being piled on top of you and you're like, okay, lighten up. For God's sakes, what's going on here? I get it, and Shelley gets it, and most of us understand that it's not so easy to just have a realization and then change it. So,
right.
Well,
yeah, it has to be a process. I mean, I look
right.
at myself 2 years ago, and I look at myself 2 years earlier than that, and during the time that you and I worked so closely together every day at Hippocrates, I went through an emotional shift where I became a calmer person. I didn't, you know, get annoyed so easily, or you know, because I had anger issues, and things. I noticed that I was a happier person as a result of that. And then, because I had already gone that far, I guess, then when I started engaging all this new information that I've learned in the past 2 years, then I went even deeper, and now I'm even more even keeled, and, you know, I still have passions. I still, you know, I still react to injustices and things like that. But I do it in a way now that doesn't put me under so much stress that it affects my health. You know, so I don't have the stress factor anymore. I respond. I don't react. And that's something that I've mentioned before. You know, if you're in the hospital and you're being given medication and you react to it, and that's a bad thing. That means your body is having negative symptoms. But if you respond to the medicine, that's a good thing. That means you're getting better. That means you're getting healthy. You know. So if when I heard that, it was such a little aha moment for me. You know, is that you want to respond to situations, not react to them. Generally, when you react, that means you're being controlled by the situation. So you can become very angry, you can become too volatile, you can be very emotional and come across as not being under control, where if you respond to a situation, that means you're assessing it and you're staying in control of yourself. Everybody around you might be screaming and yelling or getting hysterical or getting panicky, but you're remaining calm and just responding to the situation and acting appropriately. And when you get there, it really is a good feeling. I've actually been kind of thrown into that a couple of times in the last couple of years where I've actually been able to apply this new developed calmness about me, and it actually makes it very, very – it gives you a sense of security because I know everything's going to be okay because I can see what's going to happen. Meanwhile, everybody around me is kind of in a little bit of a panic state, and I'm completely calm and just going through it. And so when you make that choice – it takes a while to work it through. You have to be self-aware, But it's very rewarding, and I highly recommend that. There's so many books out there that cover that for people who do like to read books. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend, you know, putting out the effort to kind of calm your mind a little bit.
Can you address the connection? And I may be putting you on the spot, but we're a very family-oriented show, so if you want to say to me, you know, we need to research that and see what we can find, or maybe you already know. Can you address the real connection between worrying and fretting and being, the word of the day is obviously stressed, and not really knowing that you're stressed with skin disorders, all of the different skin disorders, the appearance of a rash, the itching where there's nothing there. I've had people tell me, I feel like I'll be sound asleep, the nervous leg syndrome, all of a sudden their legs start bouncing and everything. Can you address at all why that would happen, Shel? Have you ever read anything about that?
Well, when you're talking about stress, stress will instigate and exaggerate any of your predisposed weaknesses. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. We all have heredity weaknesses, whether it would be cancer or diabetes or gallbladder disease or restless leg syndrome. We all have things that run in our families, which means there's some sort of a DNA or heredity link to these particular illnesses. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to get them, but what it means is that if you provide the appropriate climate for this, that your body will manifest these particular disorders when you allow the body to break down. The only thing that causes diseases is low energy and acidity to the body, which means you're not operating alkaline. To be alkaline, you can raise your alkalinity by eating alkaline foods, by drinking alkaline waters, and by having more positive thoughts. Because negative thoughts, frustration, and stress they create what's called an acid ash in the body. Okay, poor foods, too much alcohol, too much caffeine, too many processed food, these are all acid to the body. Too many meats is acid to the body. So when you understand what causes acid in the body and what can help alkaline it, this actually boosts the immune system. And the more alkaline you are, and this also has to do with your thoughts, okay, very, very important, okay, our thoughts can be acid or alkaline to the ash that's in our blood, okay? So the more alkaline your body is, the stronger your immune system is, and the more you can prevent even heredity disorders and diseases. So whether it would be rosacea or any other skin disease, or whether it would be gallbladder or liver issues, or whether it be heart disease or cancer or whatever, okay, because I have both cancer and heart disease running through my family. My mom has severe diabetes running through her family, okay, and although my mom is overweight, she's been a vegetarian since I became a vegetarian. She has no high blood pressure issues, and she's never had any diabetic issues, okay? So even though this is prevalent in her family, I mean, all her sisters had diabetes, debilitating diabetes, where they were on the highest forms of insulin. Everybody in her family had it. Yet my mom is the only one who didn't, and she's the only one who became vegetarian. So obviously, she has a much better diet. She does take very good supplements. And she's not suffering from a lot of the ailments that elderly people do. You know, she doesn't have Alzheimer's. She has some issues with her memory from time to time, but for the most part, she's got her wits about her. She's got a decent mind, you know, and here she's, what, 77, 78 this year, I guess. And so just because something runs in your family doesn't mean you will get it. Doesn't mean it's inevitable. What it means is that if you don't take care of your body properly, and if you don't manage your thoughts and your emotions, because we do have control over our thoughts and emotions. I know people don't think you do. And when I first heard it, I didn't believe it either, because I felt emotions were just reactions. But once you learn that you can control them, you start having a much more, you have a much more secure life, because I don't go into that reaction mode anymore. And those reaction modes raise your blood pressure, do a lot of other physiological things to the body, release this acid ash into the bloodstream. So when you react to a situation, when you become panicky, fearful, when you become angry, frustrated, when you're feeling this stress, like you feel like you have 50-pound bags of potatoes on both your shoulders just pressing you to the ground, this all opens the door for whatever your predisposed weakness is, regardless of what it is, you know, whether it's rosacea or anything else. So,
well, I think we've touched on that a lot of times, too, in regard to the fact that, you know, one of the worst things still out there, even after my whole life, is cancer. And I think that we have, we've talked about the fact that letting your health be jeopardized by all the other choices that we make that are poor for our bodies enhances the opportunity for things like cancer as well. And of course, alkalinity has a lot to do with, like you just said, has a lot to do with, first of all, how susceptible you are to germs and bacteria and how susceptible you are to mood swings and depression. And one of the simplest things that can help restore some alkalinity to your body, and Shelley talks about it all the time, I'm a big believer in it. And years ago when I worked with Greeks, they've been doing it for their whole lives, and that's lemon water in the morning. And there's no special preparation. There's nothing that you have to do that's, you know, that seems like it's going to be too difficult. You don't have to get out all the vegetables and wash them with good water and juice them. I mean, that would be great. But when you're talking yourself into the fact that you don't have time, too much money, too much effort, all these kind of things, simple lemon water.
Right.
And there's no reason why everybody can't do lemon water every morning. And
right. It's actually good to do it every morning and every evening, because it is, not only does it alkalize you, but it also is a natural diuretic. So it pulls any edema out of the flesh. I had talked at one time that when I found my ex-husband, he had gained a lot of weight. He had gone through some surgeries, and they put him on all kinds of steroids. And as a reaction to the steroids, he blew up. I mean, he gained like 200 pounds, but he had such heavy, a lot of the weight gain was water. I would say that if he actually just like went on a real diuretic and flushed it, that he could actually flush as much as 10 to 15 pounds in one day, because you would press on his skin and you could see he was waterlogged everywhere. Very, very high edema. So I told him he didn't like the way he felt on the diuretic pills they were giving him. You know, they didn't make him feel good. So I told him to try lemon water. But I told him to wean back off the water pills a little bit and try this over a few nights. The one night he got to it where he wasn't taking the diuretic at all and he was only doing lemon water, he said that he had gotten up to pee probably like 10 times during the night. He said he never had that happen before. But when he woke up in the morning, he could see his ankle bones. His legs were always so swollen that when you would look at his ankles, you couldn't see his ankle bones. They were so swollen, it would just, his calf would go into his foot and you wouldn't see any of the bone structure. He said he woke up and he saw his ankle bones, and he said he almost started crying. He said he'd never had that in like 5 years. So, you know, these natural remedies are very powerful. They're very simplistic. But a lot of people don't try them because it's almost too simple. And the things that really benefit the body, the simpler it is, the better it is. But people have to understand that all pharmaceuticals, without exception, all over-the-counter drugs, without exception, have ingredients that are recognized as toxins by the human body. So although it may improve a particular symptom, and remember that no drug corrects a condition. They deal with symptoms, okay? So when you're toxifying the body, you're fixing one problem over here but then you're creating another one. And sometimes the problem you create as a side effect, in a lot of cases, is worse than the original symptom you were trying to manage. And you can just see that by all these commercials that are on the TV now for, you know, for psoriasis remedies and fibromyalgia pills and Lunesta, you know, sleeping aids and all that. And then you see what the person is taking the pill for and then what all the potential side effects are. And some of the side effects are death, blindness, cancer, leukemia. I mean, you're going to trade off psoriasis for leukemia? Really? You know? And when there's so much out there from a homeopathic and holistic standpoint that people have gotten real results with, it just seemed kind of crazy to try a pill that has those types of potential side effects where you might be worse off than you started. And when you and I worked at the Institute, how many people were there that's exactly what happened? They started taking the prescription drugs, and then it just went off the charts there. They ended up developing so many other conditions they didn't have, and now they were just like a complete mess by the time they came to us.
Well, and I think I think the other thing, of course, is that when you're purchasing over the, back in the days when I had a cleaning service, and some of my first customers when I decided to do the cleaning service were people that I waited on in Denny's restaurant. When I left the restaurant work and decided to start my own cleaning service, many of my first customers were the elderly, because that's who I waited on a lot at Denny's. And very set in their ways, funny, funny people, loved them all, but they were, to say eccentric doesn't even really sum it up. But one of the things I knew that all of them, especially the older couples, they lived in little 2-2 apartments like Golden Lakes and Century Village and places like that. The extra bathroom was set up with all their medications. And they had everything from prescription that would be kept in one drawer or one cabinet to over-the-counter stuff from everything from diuretics to stuff to help them go to the bathroom to everything, osteoporosis, all the different kind of bone builders that are out there. First of all, do you all really think there's a GPS on a pill so it goes directly to your bones? I wish that was true. They buy into it. They watch TV, and they bought in to every new thing that came out there. It's only been the last, maybe 10 years that we've been witness, because I don't know, FDA or who stepped in and said they had to do it. The disclaimers have only been available to us live and somebody saying them for, maybe the last 10 years?
Michael, a little further, and I think it's closer to 15, because when I was first working on my book, I had started noticing them. And I had an interesting reaction because I ignored them when I first started hearing them, until my research started really kicking off, and then I became very, very aware of what they were saying. So if somebody isn't aware that the medical approach is not the best approach, I'm telling you right now, they're going to do what I did initially, which is kind of ignore that because they think it doesn't apply to them. They think those disclaimers there because one person out of 100,000 have this and they just have to show it, and that's not the case. The percentage of people that have to have a particular symptom is very high. And you also have to remember that a lot of people don't even report their reactions. They just stop taking something. So for it to be a potentiality means that a good number of people have that particular reaction. And it's not rare. And it's not because sometimes they'll say, it's very rare, but this happens. But in order for them to say these are potential side effects, that means, I don't remember what the percentage is, but a good percentage of the test group had to produce those symptoms, you know. And, even 2% out of 10 million people is too many to have some of these these catastrophic things that are so much worse than the original symptom you were trying to manage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it just amazes me. One of my most amusing ones is, of course, erectile dysfunction,
mm-hmm.
and I almost get hysterical when I see some of the, okay, now you can have sex, but you can't see, you don't have any hair. It's just like, and I'm thinking to myself, are there really still people that are using all this stuff? And there is.
The whole thing with the erectile dysfunction pills is that there are several different manufacturers today that sell holistic remedies for both men and women to not only increase libido, but also to increase, to enhance size on a man, and the whole response of the body. Because all it is about good circulation and blood flow, that kind of thing, and it helps to balance the hormones. When you take a pill like Viagra or one of these others that are pharmaceuticals, again, there's ingredients in them that are not natural to the body, that are toxins. That's why they have these nasty side effects. Why would you screw around with something like that? No pun intended. But why would you go there, potentially poison your body, and eventually not be able to have, intimate relations going forward, considering that there's so many holistic remedies out there. And they're not that difficult to find. They sell them in health food stores. You can go online and find them. And they're so much safer. There's no side effects. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't hurt you. That's the nice thing about holistic remedies, is that it's a win-win, okay? If it helps you, good. You've gotten good results. But if it doesn't help you, it doesn't hurt you while you're working with the product. You just don't get as deeper results. Where with a pharmaceutical drug, even if it works, it can still be hurting you. So it's kind of nutty when you think about that.
Mm-hmm. But I think that what you just said is very important for everybody to hear, that even if the results that you are looking for don't necessarily happen to the degree that you want them to happen to, the point is that it didn't harm anything either, that there were no horrific side effects. You didn't hurt yourself in any way, shape, or form. That's the most important thing that Shell just said out of that whole sentence, is the fact that, because I can just hear people say, no, I tried those, they don't work. But you're not sick because of them. You didn't lose all your hair because of them. You didn't overnight have all these new side effects that you've never had to deal with before, because it didn't produce any of those. So I think that's the important part. I do think a lot of people are point of fact just disbelievers. If it's not handed to you from a guy in a white jacket, they don't believe it. We're still kind of brainwashed in that arena.
Right. Well, sometimes when people were trying to make up their mind whether or not they wanted to try a more natural approach, but here their doctor and their family is over here saying, no, 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 you have to do this surgery, no, 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 you have to do the chemo or whatever, I would always tell them, unless they had something that was imminently threatening their life, like they had a tumor that was resting against their aorta or something like that, where they could potentially have a stroke at any moment, but if they weren't in life-threatening, if they didn't have a life-threatening condition that had to be dealt with immediately, like an appendix that was ready to burst or something, something like that, didn't have time to try these other methods, talking about holistic and homeopathic, because at very least they won't worsen your issue. So like you just said, what I said a few minutes ago, so even if it doesn't reduce it or improve it as much as you'd like, you're not going to get worse during that time while you're attempting to see if this works for you. And if it works for you, great, because you've found a solution, okay? If it doesn't work for you, then the medical approach, the surgery and the chemo, is always still out there. But at least then you go in with more of a sense of confidence that you do need to do this or this other thing, instead of going into maybe a surgery or chemo that's worrying you, saying, oh, I wonder if I tried that, if it would work, blah, blah, blah. So even for the peace of mind that it gives you, it's worth trying it first, because in the vast majority of cases, you're going to see a benefit to the body. And a lot of the cancer agencies, you know, you ever see these commercials for the cancer, it's like this new hospital, it's all over the country now, Cancer Clinics of America or something. I don't think I'm saying the name
right.
Mm-hmm. But you, cancer centers or something like that. Now, they still advocate chemo, but what they also do, which is good, is that they have naturopathic doctors on staff, and they also have massages and electrotherapy and stuff. So what they're doing is they're blending Western medicine and Eastern philosophy. They're blending nutrition. They put people on a special diet. Now, I haven't read their diet, but if they have naturopathic doctors on staff, I would tend to think that the diet is what we talk about, okay? So even though they still have chemo in there, they're blending it. This is known as complementary medicine. So they use an integrated approach. I'm sorry, it's called integrative medicine, where they take the standard medical approach, which would be chemo and pharmaceuticals, but now they're integrating it with naturopathic, holistic, and homeopathic, which is diet and other types of therapies. They get emotional counseling at these centers. You know, I kind of researched it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that they're still using the chemo, it is a much better way to approach it. So if this is something that you really feel you have to do, this is a much better approach. Because now while you're using the chemo, which tears down the body, you're also rebuilding it simultaneously, keeping your thoughts good. And I think that's why they have a much, much higher success rate than just standard cancer places throughout the country that only use chemo. Because if you remember when we had people come in Hippocrates, their doctors told them not to do anything to support the immune system whatsoever while they were on the chemo, because their belief was that any nutrition, anything that bolstered the body's immune system would also strengthen the cancer, and that's absolutely wrong. These cancer centers that are now doing this integrative approach get that. They understand that if you're supporting the body, you're not supporting the cancer, because when you raise the alkalinity of the body, that suppresses cancer. It doesn't feed it. So they get it, you know. So this integrative approach is much better than the standard approaches for that reason.
And I think as well as that, of course, is very simple truth, which is the stronger your constitution from better choices health-wise, you'd have to really be unaware of what's going on to think that it wasn't a good idea to build your body, to build your resources before you take on something that you know is going to kill something. So and I know that we had guests at the Institute that would come in and be struggling and struggling and struggling and be doing the lifestyle, and it wouldn't be helping, and they would still be in jeopardy, and they would actually move on to more Western medicine and be the perfect recipient of the Western medicine. Why? Because they had built their constitution. They had gotten the rest of their body in a wonderful place that was functioning. They had good blood flow. They had all the things, their blood. I mean, I just talked to somebody the other day has lived this lifestyle for quite a long time with variable cheat, you might say, on a regular basis. And they knew that they were jeopardizing themselves a little bit, but their life, went that way. And I'm not one to pass judgment, because I wish I was perfect, and I'm not. So they now have been diagnosed with a cancer. Mm-hmm. Huh?
I said close to it.
Oh, yeah, right. And this person, you know, is now facing doing some other, you know, Western medicine. But when the doctors, several of them, checked her blood, they said to her, and I quote, "If it wasn't for the cancer, you would be the healthiest person I've ever examined."
Mm-hmm.
Now, the truth behind that is, so what does that mean to her? What does that really mean to her? That means that she's going to be able to withstand the poison that they're going to put in to kill the cancer. The perfect scenario, right? I mean, how much, because if you know that nothing else has helped, you know, there's also some people under some real scrutiny here in South Florida right now. I don't know whether you've seen it on the news, and I've thought about, you know, talking about it on the air, and it just hasn't been the opportune time to do so yet, but they're called med spas, and they're claiming to be able to heal cancer. And this one lady has been arrested and is under all kinds of scrutiny and et cetera, et cetera. And let me say to you that the people I know that are involved in holistic and more natural ways of providing some relief to different things that we talk about here on this show all the time, or building your immune system or strengthening your body, we never talk about curing anything. So, and on this show, we do not say to anybody, do this and this will totally go away. You never hear us say this.
Well,
We're trying to provide...
One of the things you had talked about, you didn't like the word anecdotal, but we share anecdotal evidence. We share stories where this person tried this and it worked for them, or we make recommendations, you know. But everybody has to make their own decisions. And it surprises me with everything that's out there that anybody would make a claim of curing this or curing that, because even the medical profession doesn't say, they never use that term, that this is, we're going to cure you of this. What they're saying is that they believe that only medicines can cure, which is the fallacy of the medical arena. If you read the laws that are on the books, nothing that is non-medical, that is non-pharmaceutical, surgical, that type of thing, is considered a cure, even though the things that we discuss about can heal the body completely. You cannot call it a cure, because the only thing that the FDA and the medical establishment recognizes as a cure is a drug or a surgery. Isn't that kind of nutty? But that's what it is. So it's actually illegal to call anything else a cure, even if it brings about complete healing experience to the body. So when you know that, you have to be very careful when you open up any place that's not completely 100% Western medical based. You know, and then you use that terminology, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The other
besides that, it's not true. You can't just take. It's so much more than just what you're doing for somebody. It's so much about attitude and how hard you work at doing the things you're told to do. I wouldn't want to take the responsibility of knowing everybody went home and did everything that we said to do, and then told them, "Oh, you're going to be fine."
Well, that was the flip side of it. What I was going to say is that in reality, nobody, whether it's a medical doctor or a surgeon or a naturopathic doctor, nobody can heal you. The only thing that can heal you is your immune system and your willingness to work with the things that you know will heal the body and strengthen the immune system. That's it. That's what heals the body, regardless of what you have. Whether you have stage 4 metastatic cancer, or you broke your leg, or you had a slip and fall, the only thing that's ever going to heal you, regardless of whether it's an illness or injury, is your immune system, and you are in control of the integrity of your immune system. That's it. So all these things assist the body in strengthening the immune system or diminishing the immune system based on your decisions, what you think, what you eat, what you drink, that you're getting proper rest and exercise, and you're not giving into stress. That's it. You concentrate on those elements in your life, and you can bring about your own healing experience. But not even a doctor giving you a pill is going to cure you. There's no such thing. Your immune system cures you, and if you increase its integrity, you will heal faster and more thoroughly. If you do things that diminish your immune strength, then you may not heal at all. And you may see that over time, your body and your health just declines more and more and more and more and more. And that's the simplicity of it. We are in control of how we heal. But unfortunately, people aren't taught that, so they relinquish their control to a medical doctor who's giving them a bunch of pills and then not giving them the rest of the picture, not telling them to clean up their diet, not telling them to think better, not telling them to do all these other things. They're giving them a pill, and they think the pill fixes everything, and it doesn't.
Well, I think that has improved 12, 13, oh, how many years ago was it? Probably 14 years ago when my brother first got diagnosed with cancer. The world out there in regard to cancer was the only personal responsibility that they asked anybody to do was to quit smoking or to quit drinking or to quit doing drugs, all the obvious things.
Right.
And when you went in to see a doctor, that doctor would look at you and say, are you still smoking? And if you lied and said, no, I'm not smoking anymore, then they let it alone. If you told the truth and said, yes, I'm still smoking, they did a litany of reasons for why you shouldn't smoke. They never said anything to you about drinking soda. They never said anything to you about eating too much fatty red meat. They never said anything to you about any of the other things, which is debatable, and I'm not saying the things that I just mentioned are the culprit either. However, they didn't talk anything about building your, you know, your center. They didn't talk anything about exercise. Now, all these years later, I'm going through this with my husband. I just went through it with my sister, and of course we know that I went through it with many, many people at the Institute. Cancer is one of the worst things out there, hands down. But it also is about attitude, and with attitude comes the resign that you're going to start doing things that you know in your heart and your soul are better. Somebody shouldn't have to tell you to quit smoking. You should know that. Somebody shouldn't have to tell you to overdrink or overindulge in anything. You should know that. You do know that. But it's about your own personal attitude as to what you're willing to do for yourself and how much you're willing to help yourself. You and I know lots of people who praise the vegan lifestyle. I read them talking about it on Facebook. I've seen them lecture. They all do different things in their personal life. You and I both know that, right? True or not true?
True.
So, the end of the day, the real way to do anything for yourself is to be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I could say to everybody, God, I don't know why I'm still so fat. I'm a vegetarian. But I do know why I'm so fat, because now that I don't eat any meat, I eat every kind of carbohydrate that ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah, that's kind of my draw, too.
So we both know that, right?
Right.
So it's not somebody else's responsibility to tell us, okay, Renee, good, you don't eat meat anymore, because we know that you had a problem digesting meat, and that's a smart thing. Good for you. Good you did that. But now you've got to quit eating all the bread. You've got to quit eating all the pasta. You've got to quit eating all the rice, because that's really what's putting weight on you. Well, the truth of the matter is, I know that. You know, I've been talking about this stuff now for 13 years. I get it. But my attitude is that I don't really want to give up those things.
Right.
I enjoy them.
Right. There's an emotional, it's emotional. Food is emotional to us, and we've discussed that on the show before. Food is emotional to people.
But on the same token, let me say this. I'm at the eye doctor the other day. I fill out Mayan Spike's paperwork and hand it to her, and she's sitting there doing, you know, putting everything in the computer, and she said, I have all your husband's medications. What medications are you on? And I said, none. And she said, she turned around and looked at me and looked back at the computer, and she said, you don't take cholesterol medication? I said, no. She said, high blood pressure? I said, no. She said, are you a diabetic? And I said, no. And she goes, she swung her chair around, looked at me, and she said, I'm probably younger than you. I take all those things. And I said, I'm sorry. And she goes, you don't take any of those things? And I said, no, I don't. I said, my biggest affliction is I'm fat. But I've been fat all my life. So it's right. not taking the toll on me that it would on somebody who went from a size 6 to a size 18, you know, during a midlife crisis. That's not what happened.
Let me ask you, Renee, how many people are heavy also and on all these drugs and just feel like crap all the time? I mean, you have issues because you have pain sometimes and things like that, but
uh-huh.
for the most part,
uh-huh.
you have great energy, you're a high producer, you're always doing things. I know people half your age that are on all kinds of medications. It doesn't help control their weight either, and they're very dysfunctional. They never have energy. It's hard for them to focus, you know, and you don't deal with any of that.
No, no. Well, you know, the only thing I can say to you is kind of what I just said. I think the people that start out with no excess body weight and with real good energy and have some pretty good habits, midlife crisis takes a toll on all of us, and it hits us in various ways. And my midlife crisis was more about taking better care of myself, luckily
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had back surgery because for many, many years, and this is not to toot my own horn, although if anybody wants to listen to the melody, that's okay with me, I worked real hard, real hard. I raised 4 kids. I ran a bar. I worked 16 to 20 hours a day for a long time, and it was all on my feet. And I've always carried the excess weight, so now if I could say to you that there's anything really wrong with me, I would say, yes, the damage I've done to my legs, my feet, things like that. But I've also been tested for osteoporosis and things like that. It's the only test I ever passed with flying colors. So
right.
I don't struggle with any of those, but I do have the other kinds of pain. So, you know.
Well, you know, I know we only have like a minute and a minute and a half left, but
yeah.
I remember when my mom went to the hospital a couple years ago, she had been bitten by either a poisonous beetle or a scorpion in the front yard. And 2 days later, her foot was black all the way halfway up her ankle, you know, kind of panicked.
I think
us.
I remember when that happened, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We took her to the hospital. They did a test on her. And here, you know, she's elderly and she's overweight. You know, she's a chubby woman. And they did all this blood work on my mom. And the nurse came back and actually apologized to my mom. She said, you know, she says, I looked at you. I looked at your age. I looked at you being a little overweight. She said, I just made the assumption that you had high cholesterol and diabetes. And she said, your blood work is beautiful. She said, your blood work is of somebody much younger without any health issues. She said, it's the healthiest blood I've ever seen. She said, I got to be honest with you, I was a little surprised. And that's because my mom's been a vegetarian. It really is a very healthy way to live if you have a balanced vegetarian diet. And I really think that that's one of the main reasons why my mom is doing better than most people that are in her same age group.
Mhm. And I agree with you. And we also have a couple friends that are actually some of them are older than I am. One of them is quite a bit older. And she's not a big meat eater, although she does have fish once in a while and everything, but she's a big green eater. And of course she's always been thin, but she's like she has energy that it blows me away sometimes. And she just turned 77 as well. And she
mm-hmm.
still works. So it is a lot about attitude. I don't want people to lose track of the fact that if you're trying really, really hard and it seems like nothing is working, maybe your attitude is what needs adjusting. And maybe that's what you need to work on more than what you put in your mouth.
Exactly.
We have a famous friend who lost their wife, and they believed in all of this. And when he acknowledged the fact that they lived this lifestyle and he lost her anyway to cancer, he said, you know, sometimes it's just not about what you're taking in. It's what's already in there. So
right. Well, she had a horrible trauma as a child that throughout her entire life she never dealt with. and it just stayed there. And I think I think over 50 years, it just kept eating away at her until it finally surfaced again.
Yeah, that's why talking's so important, everybody. So you can always join me and Shelley and sometimes Monica when she's not snowed in up there on that hill and can't get a connection. But you're welcome to come back anytime. We will not be here tomorrow. I have to take Big Spike to the doctor again, and the first appointment I could get was 8 a.m. So forgive me. We'll be back Friday with Recap Day. Everybody go out there and make it a great day. God bless. Thanks, Shel. I'll talk to you after a while, honey.
Okay, sweetie pie. You have a great day, Renee. Talk to you later. And everyone else, have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.